Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn today. And I've got with me Dr. Dave Stoop.
Good to be here, Larry.
He's the expert on forgiveness and anger that I've come to know and really appreciate. I've learned a lot from him about those two things, amongst a lot of other things.
Thank you.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard is on her way in. She had a little bit of a traffic delay, but she'll be here momentarily, we believe. And so we're ready to take your calls. Give us a call at 800-229-3000. This is my first day since the close of the auction, and I wanted to report in on that. It was a good event. You know, when we first decided to do the auction, we set a goal, and the goal was, let's see if we can raise $25,000. Well, as we started receiving gifts, the donations for the things, it appeared that we could maybe raise $50,000. So we upped our own goal, and we ended up with $30,000 that came in from the auction. And we found that there were a couple of the higher-priced items, the statues, that people weren't excited to bid on, but there were a lot of other things that they did bid on, and they were generous. And thank you, folks, for being a part of it. People got some deals, and there are some people that bid above the value. They were being very friendly and kind to us. And I just want to say thank you. Our team has not met yet to talk about it, but I'm guessing that we'll do this again next year. We'll have longer to deal with it. We learned a lot, and we're just really grateful for all of you folks who participated. And you know, Dave, it was really interesting. The last hour of the auction was a real active hour.
It's always the case.
Yeah. The people were... It's like, okay, here's my chance. I want to be the last one in.
You got to protect what you want, and
yeah,
if you can.
There were a couple of items that went back and forth beyond the closing date because we had that ability when somebody made the last bid 5 minutes before it closed to continue it another 5 minutes, and it went another 15 or 20 minutes past the auction to get that all wrapped up.
Wow.
But thank you, everybody. We are very grateful. We're in October, and in October there is always something going on for us, and one of the things I want to draw your attention to is this Saturday in Irvine, California, there is a life recovery group's life recovery conference, and it's going to be at
Mariners Church.
Thank mm-hmm. you. And Dave is going to speak, Steve Arterburn is going to speak, Dr. Dave Stoop, our friend Amanda, whose last name escapes me at the moment.
Anderson.
And
John Townsend's going to.
Yeah, and Chris Williams, John Townsend. So there's a lot going on. Come out to that this week if you can. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and register for that. We also have in October our Intimacy in Marriage workshop. It's going to be in Columbus, Ohio. That's October 25th. It starts on Friday. So come to that as well. That's a workshop not just for those of you whose marriages were in absolute disarray and you're about to break up in one last-ditch effort. We love that when you come. We can help you. But we also help people. If you just, maybe you're one of those folks that once a year you want to go and just sit in on a conference, take care of little things, tweak things, get better at loving your spouse. Whatever end of the spectrum you're on, that workshop is for you. We chose Columbus, Ohio because It's a great city in the middle of the country where people can drive as well as fly to. And we just hope that you'll come and see that. Well, we're going to take your calls right after the break. But give us a call. We'll be here another hour after this one. So hold on.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And Dr. Joe Hubbard has shown up. Yay, Joe. Thanks for being here.
Sure, we told them you were traffic delayed. Yes,
yeah.
I know.
You know, the end of this month, before we go to the calls, the end of this month is Halloween. And it's always a little bit edgy and controversial to talk about that in certain circles. Some people just feel it is so evil. Others think it's a fun time. How do you guys approach Halloween?
Well, it's a fun time.
Yeah. I have a party every year, but I call it a harvest party.
Okay.
Where we have soup, and it's kind of an open house. People come and go, and it's just a time to meet the neighbors. And
do you dress in costume?
I do, but...
Why do you hesitate?
Because I think it's fun. I know because I know it's controversial for some people. I have friends that refuse to come to my party.
Hmm.
Okay,
that's
well,
sad.
In lieu of it being really, really scary, you know, I like to think about, you know, we kind of scare away evil, and we don't have to be afraid of it because we have the Lord on our side,
I
right?
Like
so we
that's...
move into the fall, and we embrace the harvest, and...
That's the way it was originally thought of,
mm-hmm.
because it was All Saints' Day.
Mm-hmm. Right, the day that follows, yeah.
And so you wanted to scare away all the evil spirits so that you had All Saints' Day clear
mm-hmm.
of evil spirits, and so you dressed in costume to hide from the evil spirits. And
yeah. Right, well, right, and you know, when it comes to children, too, I mean, I have this theory that we don't tell children, oh, there's no monsters under the bed.
Mm-hmm.
We say, let's go and scare the monsters away, because it helps them to combat evil instead of having to, you know, run and hide and feel like, okay, I'm helpless and powerless here, right?
I just read something recently about the way a man helped his kid get over the fear of the monster under the bed. He cut the legs off the bed.
Oh!
Nothing.
Well, that is one way to combat it, right? Using our minds.
It took the fear seriously.
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk to Joe in Birmingham, Alabama. Listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Joe. How can we help you?
Hello. I have a question. I've been married for 8 years, and we've recently separated. Well, not recently. It was in January. And our current living situation is kind of different. He's actually living next door at his parents' house. So we decided in March that we were going to try to start dating to see if it was still there, because we had just kind of like grew apart from each other, really. And I can't really seem to get him to come back home. And his first initial, like the first initial reason of us splitting up was he told me that he was not in love with me anymore. And so I recently talked to him. Actually, I talked to him on Sunday and asked him kind of where he was. And he's still saying that he's not in love, like that he loves me as a person and that he misses me. He just don't miss the life we lived. So my question is, like, what can I do other than I'm going to therapy? What can I do to, I guess, not really make him fall in love with me again, mm-hmm. but, like, make us better?
Well, the feelings of being in love are the results of loving behaviors. And being separated, you don't have much opportunity mm-hmm. for loving behaviors.
He says that he feels like we're not even separated because we're so close. Like, he can look out the window and see that I'm okay and I'm at home from work. Or, you know, like, he feels like we're not even separated. But I feel like we are because he don't live there.
Yeah. Sounds like he's not grown up yet. He's living with his parents and likes it.
Well, is he living with his parents?
Yeah.
Oh, he is living next door with his parents.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I think you have a point there, Dave. And it's kind of like he gets to be the kid at home and do everything he wants, but he gets to keep an eye on you. And
yeah.
Right?
See, it'd be nice if his parents would kick him out, say grow up.
Yeah.
But see, his mom is saying, like, he can live, he's 30. I mean, she's saying he can live here as long as he wants. Like,
well, there's a problem.
That is a problem. So what about the commitment of marriage? And, you know, this idea of separating without a plan, I don't think is ever good. The separation is supposed to help you guys, you know, do some work on your own and come together and give time apart in case it's volatile, right, to help mm-hmm. things to yeah. calm down a bit. But it's really to work on a plan back together. It's not just to have a vacation from your marriage. And a 30-year-old living at home, it's like, I wonder what else he's doing, Joe.
I don't think that, you know, it's anything else. I just know that he's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think Dave,
you know,
hit
of course,
it.
I think that he's scared. And he keeps saying that he's scared to come back home because he's afraid that the relationship and the connection that we have right now, you know, like, it'll be all hunky-dory, the honeymoon stage. When he moves back in, you know, we'll be good for 2 or 3 months. And he's afraid that we're going to have, like, a big blow-up fight. And then we're going to hate each other.
I've got a question. Did you buy the house next door to his parents, or did his parents buy the house next door to you?
We bought property beside their house, yes. We bought property next door to them.
Okay.
Is there a lot of space in between?
No
space between.
No. Yeah. That
he's got some, like, separation issues mm-hmm. of being separate from his family. The Genesis talks about the husband leaving and cleaving.
He's talked about renting a place just to get away to see if that helps.
That might help.
That's a good idea.
Wait, you know, renting a place, like, together? Or are we talking separate?
No way.
Oh.
For him.
Oh.
So, is he a believer, Joe?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean,
somewhat. Okay, so that doesn't rule his life.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Have you guys done any counseling together?
No, we have not done any counseling, but I'm in counseling for myself.
Joe, I think you guys need to do some counseling together. I think continuing the counseling on your own, he should be in counseling as well. And then the two of you mm-hmm. coming together, you know, periodically to talk about things.
And he's like, he's angry. He's not angry at me. He's angry at himself.
Okay.
And he's depressed. I mean, he's having issues. And when all this first started, I thought he was having midlife crisis.
At 30?
Maybe. At 30.
Well, it's almost a crisis of identity in that, like Dave was saying, he's not fully grown up, and now he's in a marriage mm-hmm. doing grown-up things, and he doesn't really either like grown-up things or doesn't feel competent at them.
And it's too comfortable to move back in with mom and dad.
Well, right. And see, this is the thing. I mean, when you are married, the commitment you know, is helps you to then push through and work through whatever problems are there. And if there's nothing intervening in this situation other than he goes home and he's comfortable, what is going to change? He's just going to be more and more frightened. So unless you guys take some steps mm-hmm. to say, look, we are married. We can't pretend like we're not. Let's, you know, try to go for the best case scenario, which would be to put this back together and to learn how to be adults in a married relationship.
One of the best things you could do is come to our marriage workshop at the end of this month in Columbus, Ohio. I know it's a little bit of a drive or a little bit of a flight, but I am telling you, there'll be
you need something to jumpstart your relationship, and I think this would really help. It would be eye-opening for
months worth of counseling in a weekend.
Mm-hmm. A year's worth of counseling.
Yeah. I think you would make huge strides. And why not? Why not do everything you can to save this marriage instead of letting it just kind of dwindle away?
And it's going to take a little bit of gumption to have that kind of a talk with him and to say this is really important. And I don't know what the best way about that is, but mm-hmm. you really do need to have that kind of a serious talk. Have him listen to this radio program. It actually will air, you know, talking to you right now, this program will air tomorrow. It's going to air on October 2nd, Wednesday. So you can talk to him today and say, why don't you listen to this? Listen to these people. They had some thoughts. I was so concerned I called a radio station mm-hmm. and or a radio program to get some help. What book should we send her?
How We Love or Smart Love? Which one, Dave?
How We Love.
How We Love? Okay.
We're going to send that to you, Joe, and thank you for calling. Let's talk to Christina in Dallas, Texas, Lessons on the Word, KWRD. Hello, Christina. How can we help you?
Hi. I just had a question, I guess, about my marriage. It's a long story, but I'll start with the question. I'm just trying to figure out if I should stay or if I should leave. And just to give you kind of an overview of a summary, me and my husband, we had separated for 9 months. We've been back together for a little over a year. And in that time we were separated, I was going to CR to get help for me because mm-hmm. there was a lot of hurt. And I realized that he was verbally and mentally abusive, and there was a lot of things that I brought into my past or brought into our marriage from my past and how I just thought it was normal. When we first separated, he didn't talk to me for 6 months. When he finally did, he had started reaching out to some of the guys in our church, and they would get with him once a week and give him some challenges. And then we would sit down once a week with the leaders of our church. And the last year has been really good, except the last couple days, his son is in town from the Marines, and his mom, we went to pick up in El Paso. And when his family's around, he's a whole different man. Just the last couple of days, he's kind of had outrageous fits to where he's yelled at me. I've had to tell him, like, if he did it again, I was going to call the cops. Then when I would walk away, he would call me the B word.
You had to boil it down to one question, what would that question be?
Well, I guess my fear is that I could handle, like, the bumps that we have, mm-hmm. but the anger and the name calling, and then the gaslighting, like, he refuses to take any responsibility. Mm-hmm. So my heart is like, I just feel like I don't want to go back. Like, I spent so long trying to get well.
And so your question
and
is...
So I'm afraid.
Of course.
A part of me I just want to leave. Like, I'm just like, that's it. Like,
so you just want to know what to do.
Yep. So, Christina, are you still are you still meeting with the person you guys were meeting with?
We haven't been. We have a couple in our church that we have been getting together, and our schedules have been so busy, so we haven't.
Okay, but during your separation, during your separation, you were meeting regularly.
Yes.
Okay.
In the very end of it, because there was months that he wouldn't talk to me in the beginning.
Okay. Okay. But
yeah, and
that kind of contact, either like with this couple. Or in addition to the couple, doing some marital therapy, I think is really important. I mean, you did it while you were separated, which is good, but then you come back together, and it's not like all the problems go away, right? It's like now living together, it's kind of a test of things. And as you don't tend to the marriage, you find that things, kind of start to...
Well, it's like you said to the last caller, separation needs to have a plan.
Well, right. And they were at least... meeting and focusing on what was important, but you can't let that go when you come back together. The accountability needs to be there, and you're seeing things deteriorate.
And he needs to keep meeting with the other men because that was
absolutely
made the difference.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Christina, we'll have more thoughts after the break. Right after the break here. But if you'll hold on, give us a call at 800-229-3000. We'll be here another hour after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Everybody wants to be happy, but the problem is so many of us are stuck in the struggles of life and weighed down by our past hurts and mistakes. If you want to learn how to become a happier you, join us for this year's Life Recovery Conference.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and a lot of times I hear people say, you know, recovery just isn't for me, I'm not an addict. Well, actually, recovery is for everyone. If you're struggling in any area, you don't have to be an addict to do better when you surrender and take the steps to a happier life.
12 Steps to Happier with speakers Steve Arterburn, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. John Townsend, Chris Williams, Becky Brown, Jack West, and Amanda Anderson on Saturday, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine.
Come join me and our team of speakers for a day filled with wisdom and practical help.
12 Steps to Happier, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine. To register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit liferecoverygroups.com. That's 1-800-639-5433 or liferecoverygroups.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. We're speaking with Christina. And Christina, she has been separated but back with her husband, and things aren't going like she had hoped. And Jill, you had a couple of thoughts.
Well, and Dave, too.
Yeah,
but
Dave.
Christina, how long have you been married in total?
It was 9 years in August.
Okay, so 9 years. And have you been around his family much in 9 years?
Well, that's another thing. We're a blended family. I have my daughter. He has his
boy. So it's second marriage?
For each of you?
Yes.
Okay.
No, for him, I've never been married before.
Okay.
I just raised my daughter till she was 10.
Okay.
But, so it's a blended family, and I guess since we have been separated during the holidays, like his son in the Marines would come back, and we would be around, and it was good. His mom probably hasn't been back since we've been here.
Okay. But throughout the 9 years, have you been around them much? His mother, his sons?
His family lives in Mexico, so
okay.
No.
Okay.
His mom will come stay with us for, you know, months at a time.
Right.
Normally a few months of the year and then go back.
Okay.
And his son is in the Marines right now.
Okay.
But he's talking about moving back in about a year.
So really, you've just had stints with them. But this, I guess what I'm wondering, is this behavior new that you are seeing in him? The increased anger and being different around his family? Or have you always seen it, but it's just gotten worse?
I've always seen it.
Okay.
However, because we are not around them very much, I just think that it's been good.
Okay.
When it's just
so us, he's got some issues there with his family that really stirs him up.
That triggers it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
but
have you been ever able to like show compassion for him in that and ask him about, you know, what triggers him with his family?
I've tried to, but he doesn't acknowledge it.
Okay.
He doesn't think there's anything wrong.
And so he doesn't. He's not aware of being different around his family.
Right.
Have you guys been to counseling at all?
We did prior to our separation. We went two different times to counseling, and he would go a few times and just decide that he just didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Thing is, a lot of men don't grow up when they're around their family. They go back to being little boys.
And or having to prove something,
or
being macho. Being the adolescent that's angry.
Yeah, and, it still hasn't grown up.
It's an old role. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. You're right.
But the weekend conference, we hate to keep talking about that and keep suggesting counseling. But I think there's three things that I'd suggest, Christina. One is that he starts meeting with the men again. And it may be a different group of men, but he's meeting with a group of men. Number two, that you get into professional counseling together as a couple. And number three is, and maybe it's number one, is you come to our marriage workshop together, and we've seen incredible things happen when couples come. And it usually happens with the man. And that's... And I want to affirm your threat to call the police. you need to be taken seriously, and that will give you a sense of seriousness that's going to be good.
Yeah, if you are scared, you have to do what you need to do to protect yourself and to say, no, this can't continue happening. This is not going to help us to grow closer together, right? And, you know, yes, I don't know that we need to apologize for keep mentioning the marriage weekend, because this is why we created it, right?
It is.
Because of so many couples, people calling us saying, what do we do? And that's why, you know.
And Christina, it does cost to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure that money is not the reason somebody can't go. So if money is a problem, if you just really can't afford it, when you talk to about registering with our call center staff, tell them you want an application for a scholarship. But it's a right away. It's going all the way to Columbus, Ohio, and it's worth every penny to get there.
Well, and I think, too, for a male who is Hispanic, hearing from other men, I think,
That's really powerful.
Yeah. Because
it's got to be the right men.
Yes, it's got to be the right men. But in that group setting, I think...
And it's interesting how in that group setting the men confront the men.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they do it...
And men all men need that.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, wait a minute.
But, I mean, all men do. And I don't mean to,
absolutely.
But some men lend themselves more to that, you know, being macho than...
Yeah.
Right.
Christina, we're going to send you a 7-Minute Marriage Solution Bible. And if you guys would just start reading a passage or two a day, there are devotions in there designed for couples. There's readings for the men, readings for the women. It's a really good Bible for marriages. And so we're going to send that to you, and I hope that that helps you a lot. So will you hear the music? We're going to be back after this, and we're going to take we're going to call and talk to Stacy. We're here another hour, so keep calling us, 800-229-3000, and we'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And before we go to another call, I want to just share with you that it's a new month, and we have changed things up a little bit with our Club New Life premium. When you join Club New Life, we will send you a set of four devotionals by Steve Arterburn, including... They include 100 Days of Character, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Prayer, and then a brand new one, 100 Days of Healing. If you're not ready to do Club New Life and you just make a gift in any amount, we'll send you 100 Days of Healing. But I hope you'll consider joining Club New Life. It's a monthly giving program, $30 or more a month, and it has benefits. There are... There's some free shipping. There's discounts on workshops. There is a Club New Life video library. We're producing videos all the time and putting them up every week. And I just can't encourage you enough to please consider joining Club New Life. We need that very much. And so let's now go and talk to Stacy. Stacy's on line three.
Hi.
She's in Dallas. Dallas is popular today. It's on the word. How are you doing, Stacy?
I'm okay. How are you?
We're doing good, thanks. What's up?
Okay, so I just wanted to know if y'all believe or if you know anything about telekinesis.
Well, tell us how you define that.
Okay, telekinesis to me is when you're able to communicate with someone without them even being around you.
Give us an example. Mm-hmm.
How does that happen for you?
Yeah.
In other words, like you know what this person is thinking. You just kind of can sense. You know, you have this awareness of them, and they're not around.
Okay.
Can you
when you say you know what they're thinking, do they validate that? How do you know you're bright?
Can you share an example of one that's happened with you?
Well, okay. So I had an experience, and I was actually thinking about this person. I know it sounds weird. And I could hear them say something back to me. And I was able to respond just in my mind. I'm not talking to them, just in my mind. And it's just kind of been a back and forth with that.
And
it's not voices, it's not hallucinations or anything like that. It's just, you know, just this person is like just there.
Who is this person?
You know, well, I don't want to say who that person is.
Can you give us an idea of the role this person has in your life? I know you're trying not to give it away. Is it somebody you know?
Yeah. It's somebody that I know. I'm not around them. But it's just somebody that I know.
Okay. So is it somebody you know in your personal life, or is it somebody that lots of people know, like a famous person?
It's somebody that I know. Let me just kind of finish. So, it's been a back and forth thing. And at the time, you know, I was having some family issues, and I was kind of like, you know, standing on the scripture about how, you know, God will put the solitary in family. And so, I felt like this person would be that. And I felt like, you know, eventually that, you know, it would grow into something more. And lately, it's become the total opposite. I feel like I'm in danger now. And I have prayed and, you know, kind of prayed for it to go away. You know what I'm saying? So I won't feel this anymore. I won't have any more experiences with it. And it stays there. It's constantly there.
Dave, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that it's a finely tuned intuition that you're talking about. And people, there are some people who have such finely tuned intuition that there are certain people that they can pick up. They know they're going to be on the phone before the phone rings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And things like that. And I think that's what you're talking about. And you can even validate that by talking to that person. But it's not a telepathy or anything. It's a finely tuned intuition where you can sense something about something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can sense something that somebody is thinking.
Or you're thinking about them, and then they, like you said, they call you. Right?
Yeah.
That's not an uncommon occurrence.
Well, it's uncommon in that there's not that many people that have that finely attuned intuition. But it's common enough that it's not something that's unusual or weird.
Right, right. Well, I think, too, when I think about the process of being in relationship with people, you know, we kind of take people in. You know, people always say, like, when someone passes away, how do you keep them a part of your life? Well, throughout a relationship with a person, you're taking in good things from another person, right? And it's a process of internalization. And so we internalize people that were around, our parents especially, right?
Yeah.
Our loved ones. And so we can have an ongoing, like, relationship with someone in our own heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a virtual relationship. It's not out in the real world. They aren't necessarily talking talking back to us, but it might be what we remember what they would say. Like if you've lost a parent, what my parent would say would have said to me would have been this.
And you can almost hear their voice.
You can almost hear their voice, right? There's another type where we can have perhaps an intuition with someone, a connection, an attraction, and we can have a whole fantasy about a relationship in our minds that, again, isn't necessarily taking place in reality, but it feels very comforting. So there's a whole spectrum, I think, of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So Stacy's wondering, so she said she's prayed for it to go away.
Well,
What would you do, what would you encourage her to do to kind of leave that realm of thought that she has, that she's got this power or this supernatural something going on?
Yeah.
One thing that I would do is I would tell the other person what's been going on inside of my head and talk to them about it, because it may not be as accurate as you think it is. And I would talk about it being a fearful thing. And the other thing would be to talk to somebody else. You're talking to us, which is going to help you break the cycle. And just not focus on it. And you're afraid now. And so when you're afraid, you focus more on it. And that's why you've got to bring it into relationship with other people.
Right, so it's got to come from being inside of you, Stacy, to being out in the concrete world.
Yeah.
Right? And there's also, it could be a spiritual element here, too.
And not being afraid of it.
Yeah, to not be afraid of it, but to confront it by bringing it, like Dave is saying, into real relationship.
My wife has a niece that when they talk together, her husband and I just kind of marvel that they understand each other. They never have to finish a sentence.
I've heard that about twins, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And twins often have that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And something bad happens to one of the twins, and they sense that. They know that. So there's a closeness in the relationship that is at the root of it. But you want to bring it into other relationships so that it's not all-encompassing.
What's the right book to send to Stacy? I'm struggling here right now trying to think about that.
Take Your Life Back.
I think so. Okay.
That would be good.
We'll send you Take Your Life Back, Stacy. Thank you for calling. I just want to remind folks before we go on to our next call that this weekend is Every Man's Battle. It starts in Washington, D.C., and there is still room there. If that's your issue, give us a call. If your husband or son or brother or somebody needs this, give us a call. A lot of the men that come there because somebody else called first, and they're not too excited to go. And if you're a wife, you may need to say, you need to go there, or we're going to have to do something more drastic. And you can define that. I'm not going to define that for you. But it's not uncommon. So what I'm saying is get there, guys. You know you need it. And guys are the worst at getting outside of their little protective box of self. And I want you to consider doing that.
Well, you just talked about them coming as in fear, but they don't leave in fear, do they?
No, they don't.
Boy,
it's fabulous. Okay, hold the lines. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And you know, Jill and Dave, I was with a friend this morning, and she said, you know, my daughter had a panic attack. I think it was yesterday or recently. And it was a little puzzling, and there have been another panic attack or two in her family.
How old's the daughter?
20s,
yeah.
Mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what is a panic attack? What brings it on? What do you do when you get one? Help with that.
I don't know what it is physiologically. It feels like a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
People often go to the emergency room, and emergency room technicians are trained to differentiate between a panic attack and a genuine heart attack. But it's very frightening. And the more I have them, the more frightened I am of them.
Yeah.
And they used to think that a panic attack was agoraphobic, you know, a fear of the marketplace. But they found that it's really a fear of the fear.
Right, right. And it just gets associated with the place, right?
Yeah. And so there's a group called TARAP. I think it's TARAP that provides a companion. And I remember I had a client that had panic attacks and had to go to the court, and I went with her. And she started to have a panic attack, and I talked her out of it.
Right.
And the way I visualize it, it's like a vicious dog is threatening me. And the more I'm afraid of the dog, the more the dog threatens me. But if I make friends with the dog, and
right,
I need somebody,
yes.
I need somebody's help to do that.
So describe the conversation you had to talk her out of it.
I said, "I'm here with you. You don't have to be afraid."
Mm-hmm. And, okay, just something real that simple.
It's just that simple. Nothing technical or
kind of brings her back to the present a little
bit.
And it
says you don't have to be afraid of that dog. That dog's not going to hurt you. In fact, if he wants to be your friend, but he's afraid of your fear, that you might do something to him in your fear. And so, if you can imagine that the panic is like that attacking dog, and if I can make friends with that dog, mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about the panic anymore.
So
and it breaks the cycle.
Yeah, so it's learning that it's actually a panic attack and that you can survive it, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But you got to have somebody with you to do that.
Yeah,
you can't
it does
do it on
help.
Your own.
Well, right, but you do start to have all of those physiological symptoms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of a racing kind of heartbeat, being short of breath, feeling like you're going to pass out almost, and that's some of the fear too, is that people are going to pass out. And so some of it is if someone can help you, or if you can start to slow down your breathing. That can help a lot. Start doing some things to like ground you in the moment, because it's almost like people describe it as almost kind of like feeling like you're here but not here. And someone in their 20s, as you're describing, I've seen it with a lot of people as they're going through separation and individuation and moving into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of this lack of a solid sense of self for some people. And so it feels like they're not quite, like they can't quite hold on to themselves. And so when they get into situations where they feel overwhelmed or incompetent.
So there's some little trigger somewhere.
So there's some triggers that can bring it on. But I think learning what it is, like you were talking about, Dave, mm-hmm. is how you can start to manage it.
You said at the break that a good friend of ours even had a panic attack once.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm outing Henry because he was telling me that one time he started to have a panic attack on stage as he was speaking.
Wow.
And he could feel it coming on, and he felt like he was going to pass out. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I can't pass out right here on stage. You know, all this is going on while he's talking.
Wow.
And so he started to just breathe. He just focused
down
on his breathing. To slow it down, and that, you know, basically if he passed out, oh well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because some of it is the fear of fear.
He all of a sudden wasn't afraid of the vicious dog.
Of the vicious dog, right, was the passing out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be, you know, if you're concerned because you've had a panic attack,
mm-hmm.
you know, even Henry Cloud had a panic attack
once on
stage. So don't feel like the end of the world is coming. Take the counsel of what Dave was saying,
mm-hmm.
and Jill, find a friend, you know, breathe, talk through it.
Right.
And the friend doesn't need to be trained, especially. Mm-hmm. They just need to be reassuring.
Because they're part of the grounding, helping to bring you back into the present
mm-hmm.
instead of feeling like you're...
And in this day of technology, can the friend be a text from a friend, or does it be...
No, it needs to be somebody present.
Yeah, it might be hard to, like, be texting in the middle...
I was hoping you'd say that, but I just...
Well, and there's also a lot of people who, you know, are kind of very worried about health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I have another friend that is very worried about health issues. So a panic attack is that fear that I'm dying, too. So, mm-hmm. again, realizing what it is, then you can disarm it.
I've got three scriptures that just kind of roll around my head most every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would help me if I was going to
have
a panic attack.
Yes.
And those three scriptures, I've said this before on radio, those three scriptures were calls to worship that three different pastors in key times in my life had most every week. And the first one was, I lift my eyes to the hill.
Hmm.
Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that was Harold Liesma. He did that every week. And then his successor, Gene Pearson, it was, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of God never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And then the third one was Dr. Schuller, and his was just real simple.
This is the day
the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, those three thoughts, if you realize those are God's words, they come mm-hmm. from God, and they are
really
spoken
comforting.
To me, not just
that
to...
That grounds
yeah.
you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it grounds me. So that's something else we can think about.
Mm-hmm.
There are some... I want to just do a little bit of a rundown here before we close, and I know there's a few calls on hold. Please hold. We'll take you in the next hour. Every Man's Battle this Friday. I mentioned that. Washington, D.C. Guys, you need to be there. Please call us. 12 Steps to Happier Conference is this Saturday in Irvine, California at Mariners Church. And call and register. If you want to, you can visit liferecoverygroups.com and get more information and register online. We have Intimacy in Marriage. That's October the 25th. That's just later this month in Columbus, Ohio. Important workshop for marriages, no matter what you're dealing with. Hope you'll take a look at that. Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. That's November 15th. It's just a little over a month away. If your husband has betrayed you, if he's been sexually addicted, if he just had an affair, if he's had an emotional affair, whatever it was, your heart's hurting and you need to get some help for your heart. We're not trying to tell you you've done something wrong or you've got to get fixed. We're just wanting to comfort, help, equip
support.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, support you to deal with the pain that you've dealt with. And then a year from now, we're going on a Rhine River cruise. It's September 28th to October 5th. And cabins are selling. I should have brought the numbers in, but we'll probably have about 30 cabins left out of 75 or 80 cabins. And so please call and get signed up for that. It's going to be a fun time. We've chartered the whole ship. We are not using any operational money in this in any way. So please sign up. It's going to be fun. Milan Jurkovic and Steve Arterburn will be our speakers. Let's see. And Finding Freedom, that's going to be next year. I'm not going to talk about that. So thank you for calling us. We'll be back next hour, and hold the line if you're calling. And we love what we do here. We do it because it makes a difference, and God is making your lives different because of it. So thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.